Lele Tov, Hashem Anachnu Lomdim, Daf Yud Ches on the base at the bottom of the page, 18b, Keni Mas Nisa. This is what the Mishnah actually said. What does it say? It said, our Mishnah says that mustard or safflower may not be planted alongside a field of grain. Now we're going to make an amendment. In Makifin, you can't surround a field of grain with mustard. That's to say, you're going to plant a circle around the whole thing.
It's one row. That's the point.
What's that?
The point here is it's one row.
The point is that it's surrounding. That's the point we're saying now. We're changing the Mishnah. In Makifin, you're not allowed to surround a field of grain. Hold the smoke, but to put alongside something, you are allowed to. They say on the bottom it might mean three sides might be considered makifin. Okay, that's what the Gemara starts off with. Masnisin or on Daf Yud Tesam on Aleph 19a. Masnisin Rabbi Huda, the Mishnah is coming out like Rabbi Huda. The Tani it says we're gonna have a four-way machlokes. A makifin chadav v'chaviyel l'chasiyas bavad. You're not allowed to surround plants. With mustard, unless they are chasios. Chasios are, what do you call it?
Sharp.
They're sharp, they're like.
All sharp.
Two.
Onions, garlic,
sharp
leeks.
Onions, garlic, leeks, thank you. Onions, garlic, leeks. Devar meir. In other words, you can, I don't like to say double negatives, you can surround garlic and leek with mustard.
Because it's the same. Sharp.
It says over here with a test planting. I guess it's not mazikit.
Right.
I'm not sure. No, it's the other way around. It's the ones that are harmed are you're allowed to, right? The only ones that are harmed, remember this is an inverse, it's an inverted relationship. If it harms it, you're allowed to do it. If it doesn't harm it, you're not allowed to do it. That's the rule. So he holds, footnote 3, only vegetables susceptible to damage are chasios. Other vegetables are not harmed. So they're the ones that you can be surrounded with. Okay?
Maybe because they're the same.
They're competing.
Yeah.
They're competing for the same sharpness? I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway, that's Reb Meir. Reb Huda Omer l'chol makifin chadav v'chaviyel, you can surround any crop with mustard, chutz min tefuah, except for grain. So that's what our Mishnah would be coming out with saying, like Reb Yehuda. That our Mishnah is saying what? Our Mishnah, based on the previous page, it would say, in makifin, so. Let's see. It says our Mishnah says ain't soim chum l'sot for chadav v'chariya. So we're gonna we change the gersa to makifin. So that would be a makifin only that type of field. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, right? Only that type of field. Because according to our Meir, the second statement of the Mishnah wouldn't make sense. The next Mishnah says v'soim makifin, which would be instead of soim chum makifin, you'd be able to be makif sot yirakas. According to our Meir, that's not true. Only certain kinds of yarakas, chasios. So the Mishnah would come out only like Rabbi Yehuda so far. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, Lakomai Kifin, Chad of Chariya, you can surround any crop, even Tvua, right? So that's certainly not our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, so let's see, do we have three. I said we're going to have four-way dispute, right? I have Rabbi Meir, I have Rabbi Yehuda, I have Rabbi Shimon. Now this is going to be the fourth one, I guess. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Arugas Katanos Shol Yorok, if you have a small patch of vegetables, then Makim Venois and Chanova Korea, because then that's going to be obviously make an impact and be mazik that small patch. But if it's a large patch, then it would not be allowed to.
Because of the circumference of the mustard, the circle.
It says here on the bottom, right, it's going to be a Marseillian issue. It's not common practice to surround small patches of vegetables with mustard. So therefore, he'll assume they were there to test the ground, so that's permitted. Okay. Next. Now we're going to have some interesting conditions where you can plant in a grain field mustard. Tani, mutter hu la'adam lizrei b'toch sadehu, shur shachadu v'chariya. A person can plant in his grain field a row of mustard without separating between the species. Why? V'avachi asa erach shur. It has to be a length of a row, orach eser amasum mechzo, that means that the row of the mustard will be 10 and a half amas long. If you look at the picture in the Gemara we have over here, in the bottom of the page, the only picture we have, you'll see that the mustard or safflower is extending beyond the grain field like a half amma. You see the way it sticks out? So that makes it nicker, that it's not muvlo within the grain field. So because it's sticking out, it's nicker by itself. And it says, a reichav milua by its full width, which they explain means six tvachim.
And that's because it's
toksadeo. That's right. It's toksadeo, and it's significant enough that it looks like a separate entity, apparently.
That means they all get ripe more or less at the same time?
No, doesn't mean that at all.
Because otherwise, if they have a different cycle or different months...
There's no question that it'll be nicker that this is a separate species. No one thinks these are two... that this is the same species. We're being matured to plant something which is not the same species in the middle of a field. How can you do that? It's Laharit's client. Terence says that it's nicker, that it's not intermingled. It's like its own separate entity. How is it nicker? By virtue of the fact that it sticks out a half an amma at the edge. Izuhi gedoyla. I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said, "Loishan wela b'sana ketana." When is this heter of taking the 10.5 amma row? When is that a good heter? That's if it's a small field. Avo b'sana gedoyla loy. If it would be a larger field, you would not have the heter. I'm just going to just read a little bit further. Ezuhi gadola, what's big? Ezuhi ketana, what's small? Imiyesh bein bad levad beis rova, if between the last stalk on one end and the last stalk on the other end, there's a beis rova, then that's a ezuhi gadola, that's a gadola. Vimlav, and if it's not that long, then it's a ketana, then it's a small field. Now, what exactly is the difference between large and small? Now, for this is what I sent you out, the picture from a pine. Chaim is learning. I'm not going to use my phone. I'm going to use the actual picture here. Just one second. It's picture number Yudalit, which I sent out earlier. And if you notice, you have two squares on the two ends, right? You don't have this? You don't have it? Okay. Yeah, you have two squares on both ends. Here, two squares, and the two squares, let's say, are both the same, are wheat fields, and then the middle one is going to be, of course, the mustard row.
The space between the two are equal to the base row.
It's a base rova, yes, it's a base rova. So when you have a base rova, you can create an imaginary. Look what he made it with dashes. He has imaginary Rosh Tor. You see that? It's an imaginary horn.
Can I take a picture of it?
I sent a picture to anybody
who's okay.
So it's an imaginary Rosh Tor. He's created an imaginary horn, so to speak. And therefore,
I got it.
Yeah, that's when it'll be mutter. But if that, so that's what the Gemara means. When is this mutter? See, how is he going to translate it? See how it's going to work out over here. Laishanu. Right. So, yeah. So when we say gdola and katana, let's second. How's it gonna fit in the words here? So I'm not sure what Gedolei Tana mean here then. So according to I thought that what he was saying was, this is the way they explained it when I saw it earlier. Let me just make sure it makes sense. Just a second. Right. The only time you need to have this length of 10 amas of the mustard row is only if it is a gedola. A katana. It's only if it's a katana. How gedola, but if it's a large one, it doesn't have to be that long. You don't have to have 10 amas. The reason
it makes its own.
Because what happens is we make it a Rosh Torah. And the Rosh Torah is mater, that row, you know, regardless of its size. So, but if it's a katana, meaning you have less space in there, so if you, because he holds that you can't make a horn, Rosh Torah.
Rosh Torah has to be a gedola to be by itself one.
If you have a less than a base row, but you can't make Rosh Torahs, it's too small an area. I mean, the imaginary Torah can only be made if you have an adequate space to create it. If it's too small, you can't create it, and therefore, in that case, you're going to need to have the length of the 10 and a half amos to make it a heker. That's the idea. All right. Apparently, there's various ways to learn this. I'm not sure what they all are, but anyway. So now, the Gemara now flows very easily. So, less hadol pligal Rabbi Yochanan. So now this is obvious. Going to argue on Rabbi Yochanan, because remember Rabbi Yochanan shita was, you don't say. And remember, I warned you about this. That we've had it already a couple of times, and I warned you if we've had it a couple of times, we're going to have it some more times. And here you have it the next day that I said that, or 2 days, whatever it was. Here we have it again. Rosh Torah bar mikorva asur. That if you have a Rosh Torah that comes out of something that is Charev, it's also the only time Rabbi Yochanan holds you can have Rosh Torah is if you originally planted it that way, not if it ended up that way as a result of Korban. So I'm not going to say it again. Future times, I'm just going to read it without translating it because we had it so many times. Okay, so now the point is over here is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds you don't make it, imaginary things. You don't. If something didn't exist, then for sure you're not going to make it up in your mind. So what's going on? It doesn't work out like Rabbi Yochanan. So Taman, the Gemara says no, it still works out like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because that one was rhyme. Very nice, Joey. Beautiful. Taman was rhyme. In regard to Rabbi Yochanan's ruling, the reference to our Rosh Torah is of seeds, the Kanli Yerakas, but regard to the Brisa's ruling that you could use the Rosh Torah, that's the Yerakas, that's for vegetables. Avogad Rabbi Yochanan Plog was wrong, even he disagrees. By seeds, Maitur Hocha, but Yerakas, he will agree that if it's vegetables, then the Rosh Torah could be from a Chorva. What exactly the difference is between vegetables and seeds, nobody says it. I mean, I did not see anyone explain this. I looked in Reb Chaim, doesn't explain it. I looked in the English, he does not explain it. I didn't look at every Mefarsh on the page, but Lechari, you're going to have to say our own Svara for this, right? Anybody want to promote a Svara here? You understand the question? We're saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds, you only can say Rosh Torah from a Chorva if it's vegetables. But you cannot make Rosh Torah from a Chorva if it's Tvua.
This Marafolda here.
What?
This Marafolda.
Which one?
Ochabi Yerakos, Aderech Yerakos, Izorois, and Arugos.
It could be that there's something here. Let's see. What does that mean?
Since the roots are deep, it's typically grown, planted that
it's
way.
It's typically grown in or what? In a rows. Row.
I don't know why.
So the smaller arugas, like a sort of gedola, It's not Nechshav LaRosh Tor.
Sounds like that.
It has I thought we're trying to say that it is a Rosh Tor if it's Irakis.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I don't know. It that doesn't sound right to me.
Maybe that's not.
I'm not sure. Maybe it's a different way to learn it.
That's how going on before. Tam and Lazar and Rechani Yerakos. Ah, Fagav, the Rechon Pog. Then, that's on right before.
Yeah. Tam and Lazar and Rechani Yerakos. That's the answer. That's what we're trying to answer.
Ah, Fagav, the Polyg.
Even though he argues by Zerayim, he's might of Yerakos that you can, that it works.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's talking about, Rarifoldo. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I thought maybe the fact that it's got larger leafy type of a growth, therefore even a smaller amount could be, you could use your imagination easier because it's a larger plant. I don't know. Now, the next thing, grid. Grid is a patch of dry land in the middle of your field. So you have, imagine you have your field surrounded, you have a whole big field of wheat, and then in the middle you have this dry patch, okay? So mutal Israel by Kol Mishiyer, so you can plant anything you want to in the dry patch. Of course, it has to be a certain size. Because since the dry patch, it says here on the top, is noticeably different in appearance than the irrigated portion of the field, so it's separate and distinct. In other words, you've got a certain area in your field which just is arid and rocky, and it looks like it's totally out of place within the rest of your beautifully, you know, what do you call it, irrigated field. I'm Rabbi Yechonu, next page, New Testament base. So that means like this, that you have six tefachim, right? Yeah, the size of, I mean, I think it's 6x6, I'm not sure. Is it 6x6? Or is it larger than that? I'm trying to figure out. It's got to be wider than that. What's the length over here? I don't know what the length is. The sixth tefachim is the width. Whatever the field length is, I don't think it makes a difference.
What's the shlosha here?
So it means that what he's talking about here is that you've plant you. Let me just say. You have six tefachim wide, this arid land. Okay, so imagine this picture. So you have the irrigated land on the left, and then you have six tefachim on the right. The six tefachim are arid. The three, he's saying, you have to have three of the six tefachim have to be planted with some of this other min that you're planting there in the middle of your field. Let's just use an example, vegetables, okay? So three tefachim are vegetables, three tefachim are arid, and then comes the rest of your irrigated wheat field. So if you have less than that, right? If you had only two tefachim planted, that would not be allowed because since it's such a small amount, it's not kosher by itself, and it looks more like it's mixed up with the rest of the field. So that's the rule, basically. Okay, six tefachim across, three of the six must be planted, otherwise it cannot be considered a separate area, its crops are climbed top. Ushloisha shehin smuchim legader kigrid. Now, if you have three tefachim, which are next to a fence, normally a fence, when you walk by the side of the fence, you because of your traffic, well, first of all, you're never going to plant things right next to the fence because if you plant things next to the fence, you're going to damage the fence. So you don't plant there anyway. So that is chashuv like grid. It's considered like dry land. So that's l'chayr of the chiddush over here. So therefore, you can be mitzarif the three next to the fence, the three additional arid, and it's all considered arid. That's enough. Next, hayushloshu b'tach shisha. If three out of the six were with one species, the echad chutz l'shisha, and one tefach of the same species. Okay, let's call. I've been saying vegetables, so let's just use that for this example. So you're going to have three of the dry of the arid land is vegetables, and then there's another tefach on the outside of the sixth tefachim square, which is not arid. It's actually irrigated land, and you did vegetables in that tefach as well. So then there's a, what he's doing here is going to do a mitoch. Since these three are mutter, the three tefachim of the vegetables inside the arid are mutter because that's what we said. So so it's going to save the other tefach as well, even though it isn't necessarily arid, but it gets schlepped along with the other three that are arid. Like a amigu type thing. But if you only had two of the tefachim of the arid land planted with the vegetables, the achar chutz l'shisha, miachar shalo chutz l'elu, afzel chutzol. So in that case, it works the other way. We said that if you only have two, it does not mutter. So since those are not mutter, so the one that's outside the square also are not mutter. Hayasham grid shura, v'shura god there. Now, if it was a row of dry land, and you had a row alongside a fence, v'shura, and there was a row of irrigated land between the two. In other words, you had, it's not giving it to you in order here, so let's just say it in order. Let's start with the fence. Three by the fence, one irrigated, three additional arid. So you have a 3-1-3 formulation, which would be the bottom picture on the right in the yard scroll, right? Dry land, irrigated land, strip alongside the fence. So it's 3-1-3. Okay? So then it says, one second. Did it say the Pesach? I'm sorry, Chov Shenes Hashura. Sorry, that's the Pesach. Chov Shenes Hashura, that's at the bottom of 19b, in the English, right? 19b1. Chov Shenes Hashura, the dry rows close in the irrigated row on both sides.
I'm looking at it as row of two not good, one good, therefore all three are no good.
We're actually saying
no, all three are good, they're all three the same.
Therefore you have to plant
all three the same.
All the whole area the same crop. You can't do separate crops in this area. Okay? That's the idea here. In this case, footnote 6, and in this case an irrigated row is located between the dry row and a row situated along the side of the fence. The dry areas that hem in the middle row on the two sides nullify it so that all three rows are viewed as a single area. Because they're one area, they can only be planted with a single species. Although you're generally allowed to plant a dry row and an irrigated side by side with different species, in this case you cannot.
Does it make a difference of size?
I said one tefach. I don't know why I said that.
It's not. It's 3-3-3.
Well, the picture on the interpretive on 19b2 has that the majority are irrigated. In both cases, yeah. The irrigated areas are three.
I thought it was 3-1-3. Okay.
Here it has 1-3-1-3-2.
Well, there, the bottom interpretive, that's Chazainish's shot. He's a different shot on how to learn it. But, okay. Okay, Ayin Shum. Next, Gabay Shal Gadar Basad Kisada. If you have on top of a fence, you have mud on the top of the fence, and things are growing on top of your fence. There are other people who have gardens on top of the fence, right? So you have stuff growing on top of the fence. So it says it's kisada, it's like an elevated field. So it says in the Braisa, shnei sada zuah gav zuah, if you have two fields, one is higher than the next. So you have, okay, like just imagine in your mind, you have a field here, and then there's this wall, this big, let's say an elevation, you know, someone who built up a whole wall over there. And then on top, there's another field. So you've got 10 tefach wall. So you can plant whatever you want on the bottom field. You can plant whatever you want on the top field. Because since there's a wall between them, no problem, right? So the same thing, it's saying very logically. Same thing should be hold true if you're planting on top of a wall. The wall has stuff growing on top, so that's like the field on the top. And the fields that are down below, that's like the lower field. It's the same exact thing, basically. In fact, it's almost exact, so exact that they have to be masber what the chiddush is over here. I'll tell you the chiddush in a second. The lower field is like it's alongside a fence, and that's 100%. It's not considered a climb, even though you do two different species. And one last statement. The Rabbiani Amri, the Rabbiani said, God, there are fence, mutal Israel by Komen Turbichino or Komen Shiyirza. Could be the Gersa that whenever you have a fence, you can plant on top of it any min, any type you want, anything you want, because it's elevated. It's elevated. So the Kiddush is like this. What's the Kiddush? Clarissa should be Pashat, right? What's the case of the two fields? In the two fields, the wall is dividing between two entities. So the wall is serving as a chilek between one field and another field. The top of the wall, think about it for a second, it's actually the bottom wall, the bottom field on the left, and the bottom field on the right. So it's creating a separation between two fields and the third field on top. So it's just another step beyond the case of the two fields. The two fields, it's just two fields. Here it's like three fields. So that's why it has to talk.
On top of the wall is a separate entity.
It's like a separate entity. So therefore, the wall is acting like a divider, which is a little bit further. That's why the Yerushalmi has to tell us. I kind of told them. I tell you Shabbos again. It's a Zoom only session.